Right, it's almost 5:30. Started a bit early today because it's always a bit of a rush at the end. So let's do the gadget guide. And here with it this week, as always, are Rob and Lawrence.
Hello.
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 Madness seems appropriate, doesn't it?
Yes.
Especially Tim's show today, yes.
Yeah, a little bit fine by the seat of my pants, but I think it's been all right.
Oh, it'll be fine. It's okay. You've done it all before.
It's okay. You're just doing what Julian normally does.
Yeah. Anyway, it's mobile phone networks this week.
Gadget guide number 66.
Yes. And we're going to be talking about all the different operators, some of the different technologies. If you're looking to change mobile phone provider or maybe wondering if you should,
drop us an email, studio at Cambridge 105, while we're on air.
I am, and I'm considering it at the end of my contract.
And if you're listening to this as a podcast, send an email to gadget@cambridge105.fm and we'll respond to those as well.
Quick bit of tech news first, though, as we usually do. YouTube, they're saying happy birthday to themselves, aren't
yesterday they turned 10.
That's amazing. I remember YouTube not existing, and I remember it just starting to exist. And yeah,
well, it's not existed for more of your life than it has existed.
That's true, actually. Yeah, coming on for only a third of my life.
Although there are some users who have known YouTube more than more than half their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's completely changed the way, in particular, sort of children. I know several of my work colleagues have got kids, and
they're not being YouTube.
But that's how they consume television. So they've obviously changed the online video market massively.
There was talk about the fact that, you know, MTV killed radio. Well, it didn't, obviously. We're still here. And then there was talk that music videos were dead because, you know, everyone just was going to do stuff on their iPod or their MP3 player. But YouTube has brought back the music video as well.
It has, and it's also, I think, probably one of the, if not the biggest source of online music for people as well, is where people check out new releases.
The fact that they've added a music tab now shows how important music is to them.
And it's interesting to see some of the labels and the artists actually jumping on board, because in its early days it was sort of where everyone went to pirate.
Bootleg, get dodgy
copies of music without paying for it. And now they've actually turned it around into
all
a business
legitimate
model.
Stuff, yes.
Exactly.
So happy birthday, YouTube.
Yes, definitely. 10 today. Let's see what it looks like in another 10 years. Ubuntu, if you're into your Linux, that's they've just had their latest release.
15.04 shipped yesterday.
Yeah, and this is really the one if you like your cutting edge Linux distribution. So if you want something that's just going to be stable, sit there, and you don't have to worry about it, then don't go for this. This isn't the long-term support one.
Yeah, the current long-term support is 14.04, so that was one from a year ago,
exactly,
which will be supported for another year going forward.
And for updates, the LTS is a 10-year support.
Yes. But the next long-term support edition will be April next year. So 16.04 will be the next long-term support.
Yep. So like I say, if you like your Linux, if you like it bleeding edge, then go.
It'll have all the bells and whistles, but it might crash.
Vivid Vervet. I love their naming scheme. But if you want to run your web servers and the like, maybe just give that one a miss. And of course, the other big bit of tech news is Apple and their watch, isn't it?
What? Listen, something came out today. Today Apple's watch actually was released. Now, they took pre-orders a few weeks ago, and the people who pre-ordered, it sold out for pre-orders that would have been delivered today within 4 minutes.
That's pretty good going, because you presume that they started with quite a lot of stock. I'm sure they didn't release the exact figures, but...
No, they still haven't released any figures about what they actually shipped today. I guess we'll get that in a few weeks' time. But if you pre-ordered a few weeks ago and you were in that first batch, hopefully yours arrived today. I know lots of people have been posting unboxing pictures and showing off their wrists and their new toy on it. But you could... Apparently there were 300 for sale in London at a boutique store.
Oh, okay, but so not the Apple stores.
Not the Apple store, a boutique store. You had to phone up for an appointment, and you had to produce evidence that your iPhone was running the current version of the operating system to be able to activate it.
Now, I wonder if this is to try and get the sort of the first launch stories, the first reviews.
Experience to be slick, yes.
Exactly. They don't want to uncover any of the glitches that you inevitably get with, you know, not just Apple products, but any product, a brand new product. And let's remember, this is the first truly new device
from Apple
that
since
they've had.
The iPhone.
Exactly.
Oh, no, since the iPad.
4 years ago, I think it was 2011. I think the first iPad came out.
Yeah,
And they're not going in at the cheap end either. I know Neil was mentioning
£300 for the cheapest for the Sport. So there were 300 available. It was one per customer, and you could walk in and buy one if you hadn't pre-ordered it. I'm guessing those probably have sold out. But yes, like you said, the experience had to be good. And from the friends who've got their phones, their watches today and paired them with their phones, apparently it was simple as anything.
Right, fact, and that's obviously what they were going
in
with.
In fact, the comments I got from one friend was, where's the faff? It just worked. You know, followed a couple of menu options and it just all worked. So, yeah, that's promising.
But it's interesting because they are taking a different approach because, of course, as you say, this has to go with an iPhone. It has to go with a recent iPhone.
Yes.
So there, it's a much, in a sense, it's a much easier problem to solve than the Android devices pairing with
lots of different
party,
types of Androids as well.
Exactly, third-party
watches. The worrying thing on the flip side is that apparently a few Pebble applications have been bounced out of the iTunes store.
Oh, so it looks like Apple might be sort of trying to only support...
You can only use the Apple Watch with Apple devices, which will be a bit of a shame for Pebble, and that's going to be not very good, because Pebble still have got one of the best watches in terms of smartwatch and battery longevity, because you can actually run a Pebble for a week without a charge.
Right.
And that's their new colour steel edition.
It'll be interesting because, of course, the Pebble comes in, I think, about £100, doesn't it?
Just over, yes.
Just over £100. So there it's very much you buy a phone and you maybe spend a bit of money on your phone, some of the sort of high-end phones, somewhere between £300 and £600 for the device. And by comparison, the watch is an accessory.
Yes.
Whereas with the iWatch, you've got
It's not an iWatch.
Sorry, it's the Apple Watch. Sorry. Ooh. I'll be in trouble.
Back on branding.
with the Apple Watch, you're spending £300 to £600 again on an iPhone. And then
and
nearly
the same
that,
on a watch.
That
yeah.
much
so
again on the watch.
It's an expensive accessory, and it's going to be interesting to see how that does for them. And also, it's going to be interesting to see how people do using it. Of course, there are apps available for it if you've got one already, because a lot of the developers had access to the development kit to create the apps.
Yes,
but, of course, they haven't had a device to test it on.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it'll be really interesting to see what the apps are like, because there's some things you can test.
Well, you can't test usability on your wrist, can
exactly.
you?
You've got the simulators, you've got the emulators, but there are some things you just don't quite know how it's going to work. When you're running down the road, you're late for your train or something like that, and you want to quickly get your booking number or something like that, and it's that sort of interaction that I think probably in the next couple of months we'll see worked out.
Yeah. So as I said, battery life, you should get apparently 18 hours out of it if you are a light user.
Is that all?
Yes.
So that really is take it off charge as you leave the house.
All smart electronics these days, it's charge it every night.
That's interesting.
And if you're a heavy user, maybe a lot less. Especially if you're using it with a phone call and you have it and it's giving you notification of how long your call is and so on. That's going to chew the battery quicker, and things like that are going to eat into your battery consumption.
Now, is there any wireless charging on it? I know that we talked about this a little while back.
It has a clip-on dock type thing that is magnetically attached to the back of the watch to charge it.
Because I'm wondering, with more and more people sitting at their laptops and their
at
PCs
desk,
all day,
yes.
whether there's an opportunity for wirelessly charged watches so that as you're at your desk, it's charging while it's on your wrist.
I think it's going to be a thing. And I mean, Motorola did say that theirs is Qi charging, their Moto 360.
Yep.
Apple have said nothing about their charging format. It is a coil-based inductive charging thing, but it doesn't look like they followed the Qi standard.
Right, so it's another set of accessories.
And yes, they're saying, you know, if you're going to be out for a long day, have your charger with you to charge your watch, because you might not make it, you know, after you've gone out for the evening, you might not make it back home with your watch fully charged still, or with any charge in your watch.
Interesting.
And lastly, it looks like the batteries will be replaceable in Apple stores, because some of the teardown sites have already taken their newly acquired Apple Watches apart, ripped them apart to see what's inside. You can't resist, can you? And the battery is apparently very easy to replace, according to iFixit. So they're saying that you probably find that'll be an in-store replacement. Apple are saying the battery should last you 3 years anyway.
No, let's hope that it sort of holds up. Because, of course, with only 18 hours to start with, that doesn't give you... know, if it was 24, 36 to start with, you could sort of lose a third of your battery capacity as it wears out and still be able to make it through
a day. It's got a smaller battery than the smallest Android watch battery.
Maybe they've gone a little bit for form over function here.
I think so.
Yeah, just tried to cram a little bit too much into too small a case. Finally, then, in the tech news, Google's Project Fi. Go on, tell us about this.
It's finally crept out the door. Well, as most Google projects happen, they start
with
a beta.
Is it in beta?
and it stays in beta forever. This doesn't say beta anywhere on it, and this is Google have launched a mobile virtual network operator.
Okay.
And we'll talk about mobile network virtual operators after the break, but basically they have become a mobile phone provider in the USA. Well, a mobile phone network provider in the USA. So you can then use Google for your number, for your plan, for your minutes, for your data. And they've got very compelling, and that's someone ringing my phone, that's why it's buzzing. Put on silent, but it still buzzes. They've got very compelling price points that are a lot lower than most of the major networks and incumbents.
And let's not forget that in the US, the mobile network structure is massively different to in Europe. It's much, much less competitive and, generally speaking, a lot more expensive for what you get as well.
Yes, most Americans are spending sort of $60 to $70.
So that's £40 a month at least.
At the minimum for what we're probably be spending £15 to £20. So they're spending easily double what we're spending on their average mobile plan.
And it's interesting because that's really come out of very limited competition over there. And so in a minute we'll talk about some of the UK networks and the fact that maybe we're just in danger of heading into that very low compete
US market
situation as well.
Yeah, so Google, be interesting if they get across the Atlantic. It'll certainly be worth watching.
Let's see, because of course last time they went into the consumer electronics direct market with the early Android phones, they weren't quite ready for it, so it'll be interesting to see if they can do the customer service.
Put off their arm and said, can we have more?
Yeah, so, but then they couldn't do the customer service to match, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle this one. Right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes and talk more about the mobile networks in the UK.
Cambridge 105 Travel.
All right, let's take a look at the travel news for the final time in this show. There's queue in traffic and there's one lane closed due to a broken down bus on the A120 westbound. This is at the M11 Junction 8 for Bishop Stortford. So if you are travelling in that direction tonight, you might want to watch out for that one. One lane is closed on the A14 spur due to a broken down vehicle northbound between Junction 23 at Spittles and the A1M at Junction 14 for Alconbury. One of the two lanes is closed coming from the A141 towards the A1. On the A14 itself, the westbound side is busy between Junction 31 and 29. That's Girton through to Bar Hill. There's slow traffic on the A14 westbound at Junction 26. That's the St Ives Junction through to Spittles at Junction 23. Also having a knock-on impact to traffic on the A141 eastbound between Junction 23 at the A14 and St Peter's Road. There's slow traffic on the A428 tonight in both directions, going down to the Caxton Gibbet roundabout. And in town itself, Lensfield Road is busy westbound between Hills Road and Trumpington Road. And also Newmarket Road is busy around Coldhams Lane. Trumpington Road is busy in both directions between the High Street and Lensfield Road. And there's heavy traffic on Maddingley Road between the M11 at Junction 13 and the Queen's Road roundabout. There's advance warning tonight. The A14 is closed eastbound between Junction 31 at Girton and 32 at Histon between 8 p.m. tonight, and 6 a.m. in the morning. And the westbound entry slip roads are closed at Junction 36 and at Junction 32 as well. The A14 is also closed westbound between Junction 24 at Godmanchester and 23 at Spittles tonight between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. And that is also until the end of the weekend. There's a diversion in operation there that's clearly signposted. No problems on the trains at the moment, but there are replacement bus services on the lines between Ipswich and Peterborough, between Ipswich and Cambridge, and also between Norwich and Cambridge over the course of the weekend. Check Greater Anglia's website for more details. And there's no problems on the planes at the moment either. There'll be another next full update for you at 20 past six with Neil.
Spot a jam we're not talking about. Call us hands-free on Cambridge 967 105. Cambridge 105.
If you fancy filling your tank with some high-performance radio, then you need to fasten your safety belt and make a date with me, Ian Dayborn, for Saturday breakfast. We'll accelerate through 2 hours of great music together, check out the latest Cambridge news, then take a high-speed pit stop at the 105 Sports Desk. Saturday breakfast from 8, here on Community Radio in your city, Cambridge 105.
At the Cambridge Cycle Company, we're your friendly, independent bike retailer. Now with a second new showroom packed with the best in specialist road, hybrid and adventure bikes. Why not test ride some of our great bikes from Genesis, Trek and Ridley at our new traffic-free store located at Pampersford. With fully equipped workshops and a fast turnaround, we can look after any make of bike. Pop down to our new showroom in Pampersford near Sawston or have a browse online at cambridgecyclecompany.co.uk. Cambridge Cycle Company, home of the bicycle, with stores at Pampersford and Great Shelford.
If you follow local football, then why not join From the Terraces Sunday at 6 o'clock each week and listen to Tim, Matt, Chris, Steve and Joe as we follow Cambridge United, Cambridge City, Histon and St Neots through another exciting season. From the Terraces will follow the season's highs and lows, providing comments, previews, reviews and interviews with players and manager. From the Terraces Sunday, 6 o'clock on Cambridge 105 Community Radio in your city.
Telephone line from ELO, and that leads us into the topic for the second part of the gadget guide this evening.
That seems very appropriate. Nicely dug out.
Thanks.
I heard that one.
He's been digging the library. Yeah. He'll be giving. Actually, he's had experience of doing that because he was on Too Good to Be Forgotten for a few days.
So, that's true. Yes. Mobile phone networks.
Yes. Well, I said mobile phone networks, but they're not only used for phones these days, are they?
No, and in fact, I think almost more data. I don't know what the relative sort of hours of data use to voice usage, but I'm going to bet that data usage is actually much higher now than voice calls.
Well, I suppose if you worked out how much data a voice call would be if you did a voice over IP thing.
Yep.
Yeah, we all use a lot more data than any volume of our voice calls.
And it's interesting because mobile phones sort of went through this phase of, first of all, you know, voice calls was the only thing they did. Then it was the most important thing.
Yes.
And now it's not. It's useful, but it's definitely not the main feature.
Well, they're now all little mini computers, not actually telephones anymore.
Exactly.
Now, the voice is just, it's got a speaker and a microphone, it'll do voice. Yeah, well, you all use it for the emails, we use it for the Facebooks, we use it for text messaging. I mean, last Gadget Guide 2 weeks ago, we talked about messaging as a thing that might not just be text messaging, and there's so many apps you can run to do that as well. But, of course, you've got to have a network to provide all of this. We can't all be in range of our Wi-Fi at home all the time, so someone's got to carry that traffic.
Yeah, and there's a bit of history here, really.
who's bought who?
Exactly. Now, it's all sort of renamed and moved.
Of course,
on
the list of major ones, the interesting thing is there's only one that is still the name it was when it came out.
I'm going to guess that's Vodafone.
Vodafone.
Yes.
Who haven't changed. They haven't been bought. They haven't really bought anyone else.
And they're probably the most globally recognisable name as well. It's pretty much everywhere you go, certainly in sort of Europe, Middle East, Asia.
Yeah, I mean,
Africa.
They owned 50% of what was Vodacom in South Africa. Well, still is Vodacom. They've just rebranded in the last few years and got rid of the green and blue branding to switch to the red apostrophe that we all recognise as Vodafone in South Africa. They own half that network in conjunction with the fixed line operator. So very similar to a lot of countries, the fixed line operators have a stake in the mobile networks.
Yeah, and in a sense it's quite unusual in the UK at the moment. Emphasis on at the moment, that's not true.
Well, at the moment, we've got four networks.
Yes, it hasn't been true in the past, and it's looking like it won't be true again in the future, but right now.
When we say networks, these are the companies who actually own towers, who connect them all together, who have a backbone, and that will actually manage all of that infrastructure.
And it's important to say, you know, if you phone one of your friends, it's not your phone talking to your friend's phone.
No.
It's your phone talking to the nearest base station. Now, if you're in somewhere like London, that's probably only a few buildings away. If you're up in the Highlands of Scotland,
London.
Well, yeah, it might be 10 miles, 20 miles, 30 miles away, but it's of that sort of range. It's in the sort of few hundred metres up to a few miles. That then goes onto their network, and then it gets transported through the phone system.
I mean, a lot of the time it's getting to, well, it is all digital data at the end of
handset.
So the network then carries it, pushes it through things like the phone network that we're used to that does all your landline stuff, pushes it across of things that look like bits of internet, and then spits it out the other side into another network, or maybe the same network, and hopefully finds another phone and rings it.
Okay, so let's just do a quick rundown of the major. These are the real physical mobile network operators here in the UK. So we mentioned Vodafone.
So these are the four major ones, and their best two features according to their websites today.
Oh, interesting. And Vodafone really, they pride themselves on two things. They are voice coverage. So this is your basic, I must be able to make a phone call wherever I am, whenever.
So voice technology is 2G.
Yes.
We've all heard about 3G and probably 4G now.
So voice does go over 3G and 4G as well.
But voice will always,
go
over 2G.
Yeah, and that's really where Vodafone's strength lies. So especially if you're living not so much around Cambridge.
Well, rural areas.
But certainly down in the southwest in Devon, Cornwall, up in the Scottish Highlands.
Chunks of Norfolk, I would imagine.
Yes, yeah. Basically anywhere where it's difficult terrain, Vodafone is your guaranteed, I can send text messages, I can make voice phone calls. And that's where they've really had their inroads in the past, in particular with things like the emergency service users,
yes,
where they just need to be able to guarantee they can always make those calls.
They also claim to be very good for business, and a lot of businesses use Vodafone because they are easy to deal with as a company,
yes,
and they also provide a lot of other business services that actually add value to your phone infrastructure.
Completely other end of the spectrum now,
three, who are owned by Hutchison Whampoa, and that's going to become important soon. Three claim that they don't charge extra for 4G.
They don't. No, it's very good. There's actually very good 4G around Cambridge.
And that you can use your plan as it stands, so your minutes, your data and your texts, in 18 countries around the world without paying extra.
So this is a really interesting one, because, of course, roaming data on, well, roaming data and roaming phone calls.
We're used to being expensive.
Massively so. Yeah, we've had the news stories of people racking up thousands of pounds worth of bills. Now, and the real headliners are things like, you go to America and it doesn't cost you anything more. Yep. You can make phone calls just as if you're back at home. Watch out. There's a few little exclusions, but by and large...
It's read the fine print always, but yes, it's going to cost you significantly less than it used to. Then moving on to EE. Now, EE is the combination of T-Mobile and Orange.
Yes.
Those two merged to form EE.
That was, what, about 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
A couple of years ago now, yes. So they are currently the biggest mobile phone network in the UK, because those two networks were pretty large to start with. And they claim that their 4G is faster than everyone else's.
Now, I'm going to say that depends a bit.
Because it all depends a bit, yes.
4G is not like on 2G. If you had data, you had data and it was a certain speed.
Well, it's like ADSL for broadband.
Up to 8 meg,
no one ever gets the same speed as what the marketing material says. So take that one with a pinch of salt.
It's interesting, just as a benchmark there, by the way, on 4G. So their marketing stuff says, okay, our typical speed is 12 to 15 megabit a second, maybe sort of typical ADSL speed. This 4G is twice that. 3, on the other hand, I did a speed test the other week in one of the sort of shopping centres around Cambridge, and I was getting 25 megabit a second. So, you know, don't necessarily take any of these
marketing stuff,
feeds.
Yes. Last one, O2, who...
This used to be BT Cellnet.
Yes.
So this was one-to-one BT Cellnet. One-to-one became T-Mobile.
Yes.
So BT O2 Cellnet, which was BT's spin-off of into the mobile land, they then got rid of that and diversified it, and that became O2.
Yeah, and O2 is owned by Telefonica.
Okay, that's the...
Spanish...
Yes.
fixed line operator. So O2 claim they've got thousands of Wi-Fi hotspots around the country that all of their subscribers get free access to, and that they've got UK-based customer service.
Okay, interesting. Now,
so
hopefully
guarantee that you get someone in the UK.
Hopefully you don't have to speak to your mobile network's customer service too often. It's worth saying all of those providers as well, if you're heading up to London, all of those providers also have deals with the London Underground Wi-Fi.
Which is Virgin.
Which is Virgin Media. So if you sign up before you go down there, you can get free access onto the Wi-Fi in certain ones of the tube stations.
All the main tube stations. Because moving on from the main networks, they then got, and we mentioned it before the break, mobile virtual network operators or mobile other licensed operators. A mouthful and a half.
Yeah, so these people who don't actually have any masks, they don't run any of the radio network themselves, they buy that off of one of those other operators.
Yeah, they buy minutes and data and so on and numbers from one of the main networks and then sell them on. And because they get a discount from the main network, they're able to pass that on. So sometimes you're going to get a better deal, but a lot of their deals are based around the fact that you already have services or a customer of that company. So some of note, things like the big supermarkets have all got networks.
Yes.
Tesco, Sainsbury's, Asda and Co-op. But they're all piggyback. So Tesco's on O2, Sainsbury's is on Vodafone, Asda and Co-op on EE. So you can see what the underlying stuff is. Then the other ones of note, Virgin have got their own, which runs on EE.
And that's particularly good if you've already got Virgin Media at home, if you've got your home phone line, your home broadband.
Lots of stuff free, yes, and free calls between things. GIFGAF, an interesting beast in their own right, on O2, and TalkTalk on Vodafone.
Yeah, I think GIFGAF's worth a bit of a mention because they're very different to most of the other operators. They're almost a sort of cooperative type arrangement. It's very much consumer oriented, very much sort of fair use oriented. No bells and whistles, but a basic service that's actually very, very cheap. I would tend to say that O2 is maybe not the strongest of the underlying networks.
For the moment.
At the moment.
This could all be changing shortly, because in the news recently was the announcement. So first of all, it was BT buying EE, was announced in February.
Yep.
£12.5 billion. And providing they get approval by the regulators, expected to complete in March next year. And then Hutchison Whampoa, who we mentioned earlier, who owned 3, have agreed on the 24th of March, only a month ago, to buy O2 for £10.25 billion.
So we could really be looking at a merger down to three main networks.
Yes.
And also one of those very, very large ones like merging into the landline business.
H3O2 and BT and Vodafone.
But yeah, Vodafone's still out there as their own thing.
No one seems to want to buy them, which is interesting. Or they've fended everyone off. So, you know, the other thing is, why would you buy your line from a virtual operator rather than the main network? Well, it depends on if you've got a package arrangement with the likes of Virgin or with your supermarket. You know, a lot of the supermarkets with their loyalty programs give you good deals. So if you've got a club card or a Nectar of some description, that supermarket might offer you a very good deal on your mobile phone.
Definitely worth shopping around. The other thing that's worth shopping around for is if you're coming to the end of your contract, Tim, you mentioned that you were, is look at the SIM-free plans.
Yes.
Because often you might be paying, say, £50 a month for a contract which says free iPhone or free
whatever.
Free S6 new device. Or whatever. It's always worth looking at how much it costs to buy the device SIM-free. And then get a SIM-free plan, because often if you multiply the difference, so if you're locked in for 24
there
months...
There aren't any rebates anymore.
No.
Especially on the high-end smartphones. If you look at the price of the plan, if they say it's £59 a month times 24 months,
yep.
And you look at what a SIM-free plan with the same number of minutes, texts and data would cost you, you deduct the two from each other, so work out what the difference is, multiply that by 24 months, you'll generally come out to the same price of the phone if you bought the phone without a contract.
Yes, if not less. So that, as that example, £59 a month, that's £1,400 over 2 years.
Which suddenly you realise you can buy a lot of phone for that.
Compare that to a SIM-free contract, which maybe is £15 a month, that's £360 over 2 years.
So your budget is £700 for a phone.
No, £1,000.
How much for the phone?
£360.
Versus
£1,416.
Right, so £1,100 for a phone.
You can
buy two smartphones for that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, the secret is if you've got things like a cashback credit card or some sort of deal that you can get it that way on good finance terms, buy the phone without a contract.
There we go. I'll be back in on the 8th of May. I think you're running off to places elsewhere.
Yes. So have a good Gadget Guide in 2 weeks.
Excellent. We'll be back then.